Hello and welcome to episode 827 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Saturday, March 9th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the prayer by the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori, for Saturday to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain her patronage. O my most holy mother, I see the graces which thou hast obtained for me, and I see the ingratitude of which I have been guilty towards thee. An ungrateful soul is no longer worthy of favors, but I will not on this account distrust thy mercy, which is greater than my ingratitude. O my great advocate, pity me. Thou dispensest all the graces which God grants to us miserable creatures, and for this purpose he has made thee so powerful, so rich, and so benign. He has done so that thou mightest succor us in our miseries. Ah, Mother of Mercy, leave me not in my poverty. Thou art the advocate of the most miserable and guilty criminals who have recourse to thee. Defend me also who recommend myself to thee. Say not that my cause is too difficult to be gained, for all causes, however desperate, when defended by thee, are gained. In thy hands then do I place my eternal salvation. To thee do I entrust my soul. It was lost. Thou then, by thy intercession, hast to save it. I wish to be inscribed amongst thy most devoted servants. Reject me not. Thou seekest the miserable to relieve them. Abandon me not, who am a wretched sinner and who have recourse to thee. Speak for me. Thy son does all that thou askest him. Take me under thy protection. That is all that I ask. Yes, for if thou protectest me, I fear nothing. I do not fear my sins, for thou wilt obtain me a remedy for the evil they have done me. I do not fear the devils, for thou art more powerful than all hell. I do not even fear Jesus, my judge himself, for by a single prayer of thine he is appeased. I only fear that by my negligence I may cease to recommend myself to thee and thus be lost. It is true that these graces are too great for me, who have not deserved them, but they are not too great for thee, who have not deserved them. But they are not too great for thee, who art so much loved by God. Hence he grants thee all that thou askest. Thou hast only to speak, and he denies thee nothing. Pray then to Jesus for me. Tell him that thou protectest me, and then he is sure to pity me. My mother, in thee do I trust. In this hope I shall live in peace, and in it I wish to die. Live, Jesus, our love, and Mary, our hope. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. O God, who dost also manifest thy omnipotence by mercy and compassion, listen to the prayers we offer up for the enlightenment of the unbelieving perfidious Jews, that they may acknowledge the light of thy truth, which is Christ, and may be saved from their blindness. Grant, we beseech thee, all-powerful God, that the remnant of the Jewish people may walk in the way of salvation, and by following the preaching of the blessed John, thy precursor, they may safely come to him, whom he foretold, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. We return once more, friends, to Meditations for Lent by another great saint and doctor of the church, the angelic doctor, probably the smartest guy who ever walked the earth, St. Thomas Aquinas. This is available for free at fisheaters.com. Third Saturday, the Passion of Christ Reconciles Us to God. Once again, this is Meditations for Lent by St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas begins with a verse from Sacred Scripture, Romans 5:10. We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. The Passion of Christ brought about our reconciliation to God in two ways. Number one, it removed the sin that had made the human race God's enemy, as it says in Holy Scripture. To God, the wicked and his wickedness are alike hateful. Wisdom 14:9. And again, thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. Psalm 5:7. Secondly, the passion was a sacrifice, most acceptable to God. It is, in fact, the peculiar effect of sacrifice to be itself a thing by which God is placated. Just as a man remits offenses done against him for the sake of some acknowledgement pleasing to him, which is made. Whence it is said, if the Lord stir thee up against me, let him accept of sacrifice. 1 Kings 26:19. Likewise, the voluntary suffering of Christ was so good a thing in itself that for the sake of this good thing found in human nature, God was pleased beyond the totality of offenses committed by all mankind, as far as concerns all those who are linked to Christ in his suffering by faith and by charity. When we say that the passion of Christ reconciled us to God, we do not mean that God began to love us all over again. For it is written, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. We mean that by the passion, the cause of the hatred was taken away, on the one hand by the removal of the sin, on the other hand by the compensation of a good that was more than acceptable. 2. As far as those who slew our Lord were concerned, the passion was indeed a cause of wrath. But the love of Christ's suffering was greater than the wickedness of those who caused him to suffer. And therefore the passion of Christ was more powerful in reconciling to God the whole human race than in moving God to anger. God's love for us is shown by what it does for us. God is said to love some men because he gives them a share in his own goodness, in that vision of his very essence, from which there follows this, that we live with him in his company, as his friends, for it is in that delightful condition of things that happiness or beatitude consists. God is then said to love those whom he admits to that vision, either by giving them the vision directly or by giving them what will bring them to the vision, as when he gives the Holy Spirit as a pledge of the vision. It was from this sharing in the divine goodness, from this vision of God's very essence, that man by sin had been removed. And it is in this sense that we speak of man as deprived of God's love. And inasmuch as Christ, making satisfaction for us by his passion, brought it about that men were admitted to the vision of God, therefore it is that Christ is said to have reconciled us to God. So ends the meditation. I believe what St. Thomas is trying to touch upon here is there's an infinite chasm between us and God because of sin. Jesus bridges that gap because he's fully God and he's fully man, right? He's fully divine. He's God. He's the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. He's co-equal with the Father, co-equal with the Son. He's also fully man. He's the most masculine man who ever walked the face of the earth. And only he could bridge that gap. In the Old Testament, you have various sacrifices that are made, lambs that are slaughtered, and so forth. Well, he's the lamb par excellence, and he struck down sin, Satan, and death by what he did, and it's because of who he is as well. When you have those Old Testament sacrifices, in a way, of course, they're pleasing to God. And progressively, as we work our way through the various covenants throughout the Old Testament, more and more people are being drawn into God's family. You have Adam and Eve, of course, the marriage covenant. And as we move on further, we have Noah, we have Abraham, we have King David, and we're moving progressively towards a worldwide kingdom that's fulfilled ultimately in our Lord and his church. And he can't separate the bride from the bridegroom. Sometimes you'll hear people say, excuse me, well, I'm spiritual, you know, I love Jesus, but I'm not into organized religion. Well, as Cardinal Seurat says, doctrine is Christ. You can't separate the teacher from his teaching. You can't separate the bride from the bridegroom. Jesus and the church are one. He came to this earth and started one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and he wants you and everyone you know to be a part of it. You can take that to the bank. That's a fact. So if you're away from the faith, come on back. All you need to do is go to confession. I highly recommend attending the traditional Latin Mass or Divine Liturgy. Do an internet search for the Society of St. Pius X, for Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter, or the Institute of Christ the King Sovereign Priest. See if there's a chapel nearby. If not, go to the nearest traditional Latin Mass. but go to confession first. If you're not Catholic, again, check out one of those chapels, one of those traditional orders, and talk to a priest about coming into the faith, because God wants you in his fold. He wants you in his family. He wants every man, woman, and child on earth to be a Catholic. Can you imagine the unity? Can you imagine the peace we would have on this earth if everyone was a practicing Catholic? But there can only be unity in the truth. There's kind of a false unity you hear talked about in the church and the world of just kind of coming together for the sake of coming together. And, you know, like the French Revolution, liberty, fraternity, equality. Well, we see how the French Revolution turned out. That was demonic. They were trying to get rid of the Catholic Church, and priests and nuns and kings and queens were murdered. And for what? They ended up getting Napoleon a few years later. God has a plan for your life and for the world. It doesn't involve sin. It doesn't involve a cultural revolution. It involves getting back to basics. It involves getting back to virtuous living. And simply put, doing good and avoiding evil. What did the Blessed Mother ask for at Fatima? Each time she came, the one thing she said over and over again was, pray the rosary every day. Pope St. Pius X said if he had a million families praying the rosary consistently, praying it every day, that the world would be converted. It's the prayer of the gospel. It's hugely powerful. And when we have Our Lady on our side, and St. Joseph and all the angels and saints, and obviously King Jesus, who can oppose us? If God be with us, who can be against us? Let's conclude once more, friends, by mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. RPM is an acronym that stands for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, and the hard work of her family, breaking through to open communication via RPM, we know that she's a comprehensive genius. She composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. How many people like her are out there? RPM has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of communication for non-speakers as sign language was for the deaf. Can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. It's that massive. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread the word far and wide, and may God richly bless you for doing so. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.